A careful investigation rendered it evident that she had revived within 2 days after her entombment, that her struggles within the coffin had caused it to fall from a ledge or shelf to the floor, where it was so broken as to permit her escape. A lamp which had been accidentally left full of oil within the tomb was found empty. It might have been exhausted her by evaporation. On the uttermost of the steps which led down into the dread chamber was a large fragment of the coffin, with which it seemed she had endeavoured to arrest attention by striking the iron door. While thus occupied, she probably swooned or possibly died through sheer terror. And in failing, her shroud became entangled in some ironwork which projected interiorly. Thus she remained, and thus she rotted. Erect. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, today I would like to talk about Jesus and how he may indeed have come back from the dead and why this may indeed have been the case. Now, this book was inspired by a very interesting... This video was inspired by a very interesting book called Buried Alive by Jan Bonderson, The Terrifying History of Our Most Primal Fear. And it goes into a great deal of detail about it is a fact that well into modern times, people were buried alive. We do not know with precision the precise point of death. There have been many cases of people who exude all of the signs of death, apart, of course, from rigor mortis, and they turn out in reality to be alive. And that is why there are some early modern doctors who argued that people should not be declared dead until rigor mortis has set in. This book provides many, many examples of people who were buried alive. Examples of groaning being heard at the funeral and the person who has been completely catatonic and still for days being taken up and, you know, revived and being found to have been alive. It has been suggested that the Emperor Zeno was buried alive, that Duns Scotus was buried alive in 1308. And when it was feared that he had been buried alive, they opened up the grave to find that his body had broken free of the coffin and was found outside the coffin, his hands covered in blood and ripped apart in his desperate struggle to get outside the coffin and to avoid this terrible fate. But of course, he had died. In 1674, Alice Blund of Basingstoke in Hampshire was buried alive twice. She was buried into the ground. And then it was heard later that night. There were groans and whatever. They waited for a bit. They brought her back up. She still seemed to be dead. They took her back down into the grave. And then when there were more groans, when they brought her back up, then she really was finally dead. And her shroud had been ripped apart in a desperate struggle to escape from the earth. In 1885, someone called Jenkins in New York City was found outside their coffin, having escaped from their coffin, having been buried. In 2001, in Maryland, a body that later revived was sent to a morgue. We don't know the exact point of death. We don't understand it. And there are certain conditions whereby a body can seem completely dead, to the extent of not having a pulse, to the extent of the heart having stopped, but somehow it is surviving and it turns out to be alive. Now, when this happens, what we have is known appropriately as Lazarus syndrome. Lazarus, of course, being the man in the Bible who, to all intents and purposes, had died and who Jesus, through a miracle, managed to bring back. If you have Lazarus syndrome, you appear to be dead, but you are not actually dead. There are many cases whereby the body, despite having all the signs of death, can be kept alive through a kind of cryogenics in extreme cold and slowly brought back. This was discovered in Sweden in cases where a person has a heart attack and basically dies in very cold temperatures, but for some reason it means that the body doesn't completely die. They can be kept in this cold condition and the circulation very, very slowly revived through very, very cool conditions that gradually become warmer and warmer and warmer. And this can be done if it's done right. Now, normally, of course, if something like this happens, the person will be revived, but they will be brain dead. But if this is done correctly, if this is done slowly enough, and if this is done in the appropriate cool conditions, then the person can be revived from the dead, brought back from clinical death, where the heart is not beating at all, with very little effects in terms of brain damage. This is known as Lazarus syndrome, and it is now a very, very common phenomenon. There's, by the way, a book on this by Sam Parnia. A very, very common phenomenon whereby, let's say, somebody has a heart attack, their heart stops, they are kept in this kind of cryogenic suspension such that the brain is looked after over the body and they are gradually brought out of essentially a suspended death, a kind of place between life and death, where they don't have any of the signs of being alive, but they of course are not yet rotting, and then they are brought back and they continue with their lives. This is Lazarus syndrome. So we do then have these two clear phenomena that are ongoing. One, Lazarus syndrome, whereby under certain circumstances you can give off all the signs of death apart from rigor mortis and not be dead, and therefore under the correct conditions, which we now are increasingly mastering in medical science, you can be brought back from what seems to all intents and purposes like the dead, like the death, and being buried alive. And in that book that I mentioned earlier, Buried Alive, it's been estimated from what skeletons that have been exhumed in archaeological research and whatever are doing when they are exhumed, that up to 10% of people in burial cultures may have been buried alive. 10% of people. The cases he goes into in this book are horrifying. One of them was a case, I think it was in Sweden, where a woman who was heavily pregnant is buried. She's dead, as far as and then there's these moans and groans, and eventually they dig her up, and she's dead, and there's a baby in there, and that's dead. So she gave birth in the coffin. So this, and of course the babies died as well. There have been a number of cases, actually, of them finding women who seem to have given birth in the grave. So buried alive is a fact of life. It probably still continues to happen. In so much as the third world is basically what our history is like, and in so much as these cases are still reported in the third world, it is certain that it has happened in our history, and it is probably continuing to happen. Indeed, there are probably people who find themselves, as we move away from a burial culture in many Western countries towards a cremation culture, who are cremated alive, which I'm sure, imagine that, waking up as you go into the cremation oven and then being burned alive. So this definitely happens, and this brings us then back to the issue of Jesus our Lord. Because wouldn't it make sense that what could have happened is that he was dead? He was taken down from the cross, and he suddenly dies, having shouted out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," and then he suddenly gives up the ghost. They stick some things in his side to make sure he's dead and blood comes out, but whatever, he still manages to survive this. He's taken into the tomb, and he comes back to life. That is perfectly possible, because there are many, many documented cases of people that are entombed who come back to life. Now, the Israelites, or the Jews rather, practiced this two-stage burial, whereby you would be placed in the tomb, you would rot, and then you would be taken out of the tomb and put in these burial urns, so there was two-stage burial. If they, of course, had just cremated you like they do in Hinduism or whatever, or just buried you, then you wouldn't have survived that. But no, they put them in these caves, in these tombs, and they have two-stage burial. So it seems to be perfectly conceivable. In the coolness of the tomb, imagine it would have been this very, very cool, cold environment, just like is known in the medical research on Lazarus syndrome, that it would have been such that it could have brought a body, a person that had survived crucifixion or whatever, had survived some other apparent death, back from the dead. And then Jesus would have, through some act of strength, managed to roll the stone away and would have showed people that he was still alive and he had the marks in his hands or his wrists to prove it. So therefore, through this combination, he could have been buried alive. Many people, it's estimated up to 10% of people were buried alive. It's perfectly possible to survive crucifixion because, of course, you're not having a part of your body chopped off or you're not being hanged or whatever. You're just being nailed up until all of your muscles give way and eventually you die. So they couldn't be sure that those they brought down from the cross were dead. And even if they did stick something in their side and cause them to bleed, it's perfectly possible that they could have survived that as well. And so then he is taken into the tomb, and it takes some days. 3 days sounds about right. There have been many cases of this. In fact, this is documented in the book Buried Alive, of people that are buried alive. And a few days later, you start to hear moans from the grave. People that are dead, and they're taken to the morgue. And a few days later, they come round. They're basically in a coma. They come round, and that's the kind of amount of time that it takes. And in the kind of cool conditions that you would have in a morgue, or the kind of cool conditions that you would have in a tomb, they would be the kind of conditions that would induce what it is that you see in cutting-edge research from Nordic countries, whereby you know people have a heart attack in the snow, and they manage to bring them back ostensibly from the dead. So that could be what happened. Now, there are those that say that, oh, the Bible should be understood as symbolic, and it's symbolic of this, that, and the other, and that there were other people at the time that resurrected, and all this kind of thing. Well, first of all, no, there's no reason to understand the Bible as symbolic. It is historical literature with the world comprehended through a religious lens. And it's generally accepted by mythologists and such like that that's what's going on. Why would you bother to write something down just to write a story? It's not presented as that, so why should it be that? It's presented as what they understood to have actually occurred, but they understood the entire world through a theological lens whereby God intervenes to help them, or intervenes to damn them or whatever. But it's nevertheless history literature, and it should be understood as such. Consistent with this, there are some details in the book of John which are giving you very specific details as to what would have gone on in crucifixions and whatever. It's specific historical detail. So I think we can dismiss that. These are attempts at historical literature, and they are attempts to record what is supposed to have happened. And if indeed other Messiah-type figures came back from the dead as well, that doesn't necessarily mean that it didn't happen in the case of Jesus. What it more likely means is that one of the reasons that they were regarded as Messiah-like figures or as divine figures is precisely because they came back from the dead. And it may be that, of course they didn't really, but that they seemed like they did. And it may be that there's something about certain charismatic figures, some kind of abilities they have, some sort of strengths psychologically and physically that they have, which we don't quite understand, which allows them to survive extremes of pain and so on, and thus come back from the dead. And for their followers, this is simply, how would they interpret this? How would they interpret this, that someone is buried alive? They would have been aware of that. People were buried alive. They knew that. I mean, even in Victorian times, there were societies set up for the prevention of premature burial. They understood that. But the question is, how would they see it then? They already understand this man as a kind of guru, as a kind of messiah figure who has shown feats of strength, and he manages to come back from the dead. How would they see it? And how would Jesus, with his messiah complex, which he let's face facts, had, how would he see it? Well, he would see it as evidence that he was divine and evidence that he was chosen, and just further evidence of his own, what some people would call a sort of personality disorder, of sort of extreme narcissism, what others would call the fact that he was God made flesh. And his followers would see it in the same way. And so you can see how in the fever pitch of the time, that would help to inspire people and would help to make Christianity a particularly successful religion, if C.S. Lewis and whatever is in fact correct, that this did actually happen. So C.S. Lewis said that Jesus was either God or he was mad, or he was bad. Well, I think that is a manifestly an oversimplification, and anybody with any intelligence or lack of bias would realise that is an absurd oversimplification. To just say, you know, it's a kind of fallacious argument to have to make you choose between being God, being mad, or being bad. No. That's not acceptable. What he may well have been is a charismatic figure, and in that sense, have elements of what some people might call madness, i.e. Elements of narcissism or of psychopathology, which some people might call badness, or of whatever, in a mixture such as to produce a particular kind of inspiring psychology that makes a cold world seem warm and makes the person have an incredible sense of their own certainty and their own mission such that they can inspire people. And that may have been combined, not coincidentally, because there may be something about the nature of these people that makes these things more likely to happen with them, surviving what seemed like death via Lazarus syndrome. So I hope at this time of ghosts and spookiness and Halloween, this has been of interest. And if it has, then please subscribe. It really helps me if you do that. And it's what Jesus would want you to do. And spread the word and all that. Remember, I live from Monday to Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York. And I will see you soon. And